Good morning. It is good to see you all out. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20 tells us, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst." And I couldn't help but think about that as Brother Robert talked to us about the high priest before we partook of the Lord's Supper and how we get to have fellowship with our high priest that is Jesus. And how we get to be with Him, how we get to, as it is, to dine with Him and share in His love for us. And we're so glad that you're here this morning. And that's what we're about. That's what we're trying to do on this Lord's Day. I want to tell you a happening. This is two ladies that went to the Fiddler's Convention. And they had all this stuff they were toting around. It was a bag of kettle corn and strawberry lemonade and chairs and door hangers and some little trinket made out of wood. It just comes in and out and has bristles on the end of it. And somebody told me it was a broom. And they walk around here and they've got all this stuff and they're toting it around. And they just look slap wore out. And I think it because they was. And they come up there and they trying to find a place to sit. And one of the police officers, security, come over and said, "Ma'am, let me help you there. Let me carry some of that, carry these chairs for you." And he asked her, "So how far down would y'all like to sit?" And this lady said, "Oh, honey, we won't sit all the way down. We plumb give out. We done all we can do." This morning we're going to look at, am I too comfortable? And with really focusing in on the too comfortable. Because I like to be comfortable. I like to have things settled into place. I like things to just not bother me or to worry me. I like to be comfortable. And if I can get comfortable for 30 or 40 seconds, very good chance I'm going to go to sleep. So y'all don't get too comfortable now this morning. So much so that you get to go to sleep. But what is comfortable? You know, we talk about the comfort zone. And this is the area which you're comfortable. And if we were to think about this as a temperature range, some people might say, you know, well, that's 68 degrees. That's comfortable. And some would say, you're crazy. That's an igloo. It needs to be 75. And some would say 68 is tolerable, but it could be cooler. You know, everyone has their own comfort zone. And I am fully convinced with all that is in me, the comfort zone of temperature, polar opposite people marry. That was one of the prerequisites of requirement. One wants it 68 and one wants it 79. Those people must marry. That's just the way it is. When we think about comfort zone also, it is a place or a situation where one feels safe or they are at ease and without stress. It's a comfort zone. This is my happy place. This is where I am comfortable. This is where things go well. It is an established lifestyle in which comfort is enjoyed as long as there is no drastic change. I have got my norm and I have got my routine and I am happy with it. Don't go messing with it. This is my comfort zone. This is as far as I'm willing to go. This is as much as I'm willing to do because this is my comfort zone. Well, where is your comfort zone? No, everyone is different in what they like. We've talked about that. We've looked at that. Everyone has a different amount of things that they're comfortable with. Sometimes your comfort zones will change over time based on our thoughts and our actions, experiences that we have had, and certain skill sets. We think about crowd size. A lot of times will affect one's comfort zone. You know, some people are okay with extremely large crowds. Some people get uncomfortable in one-on-ones. They get uncomfortable in small group settings. I see this a lot of times with some of the leaders of companies. They are fully comfortable talking to vast groups of people and inspiring and leading large groups of people. But when it gets down to one or two or three people that are talking to them, they feel the pressure, they feel overwhelmed, and they don't like doing news interviews because that's where they feel uncomfortable. But they'll stand in front of large crowds of people. Some people are more comfortable in that one-on-one setting than they are with a large group of folks. Everyone is different. Everyone has different experiences and different skill sets. Sometimes it has to do with the event, and coinciding with that is the subject matter. And if you're talking about something that you know a lot about, well, you're more comfortable in that setting. And you're willing to talk, you're willing to share, you're willing to ask questions and to learn because it's something that you care about. It's an event that you enjoy. But if you were to take me something that I don't like and I don't know anything about, well, I'm not really comfortable. I'm scared you're going to ask me a question about something that I don't know anything about. I'm reminded of, which this is the second one I've shared with you, the second Jerry Clower story this morning, but the one where the chauffeur takes over for this big speaker. And if you don't know it, I'm not going to go through all of it with you. But the chauffeur takes the place of the speaker. Well, he was comfortable giving that speech. But as soon as somebody asked him a question about dinosaurs down in the earth, he didn't know anything about it. So he had to ask his chauffeur to answer that question. So he didn't feel comfortable asking questions. He felt comfortable giving a speech. Well, our personal comfort zones change. Personal comfort zones are often found maybe in your home. You're comfortable in your home. This is my, as it were, safe place. This is a good place. This is my home. This is where I can go and not be bothered. This is where I can go and be left alone. This is where I can go and not worry about outside forces coming in because this is my home. We feel like this is our castle and we have a right to be here and no one can take that away from us. Some people feel comfortable around family. Some people feel very uncomfortable around family. Some people feel like their comfort zone is at a certain latitude. And the lower the latitude, the better the attitude. And we go to vacation. We go to get away. Some people, they feel comfortable at work. They do what they love, they're good at it, and they feel comfortable with it, and that's their most comfortable place. This is the only thing that I'm good at in life is my work. This is the only thing I'm good at. So this is where they're comfortable. Some people feel comfortable in their car. I feel very uncomfortable with some of you in a car. Some people feel comfortable at church or at school. We all have different personal comfort zones and places where we feel good, but there are certain problems that come along with being in comfort zones. Being in a comfort zone sometimes allows us to be comfortable and to relax, and we will stumble. Hosea chapter 14 and verse 1, "Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity." You have become okay with being okay. AT&T had a commercial, and several runs of commercials where they released the slogan, "Just okay is not okay." But we are okay with okay so many times. And that many times will lead us to backsliding. Jeremiah chapter 8, the first part of verse 5, "Why then has this people turned away into perpetual backsliding?" This is all they want to do, is just slide away, ease away, hide behind the scenes. They want to get comfortable and then just kind of drift away. They turn into all of this backsliding. They begin to feel satisfied or accomplished, that they have succeeded in something. Luke chapter 12 and verse 19 says, "And I will say to my soul, so you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." Yeah. Got it pretty good. "You fool, for this night your soul will be required of you." It causes us to be stagnant. In Revelation chapter 3, when writing to the church at Sardis, it says in verse 1, I know your works, for you have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. You look alive. You want everybody to think you're alive, but you're really dead. Dead people don't move. They just lie there. And that's what you have become. Falling in a comfort zone many times will make us stagnant and it will make us stop. In a like manner, it continues in verse 2. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. You didn't finish. You stopped. You might have been doing that which was good, and you were like, hey, you know what, this is pretty good. This is a pretty good place to be, and they just stopped. They just kind of quit. Skipping on down to verse 17, when speaking to the church at Laodicea, we find out about those who settle. It's kind of like the relaxing and eating, drink, be merry verse. It says, it's for you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. I got it all. You got it made. I don't need anything. But all the while you are wretched, you are pitiful. Pitiful, pitiful, pitiful. Poor, blind, and naked. Because you began to settle because you were in your comfort zone. Well, there are certain blessings that come in church comfort. This is a good place to be. We mentioned places that you find comfort zones, and church being one of them. Well, here are some of the things as to why people become comfortable in church. And these are blessings. These are good things as far as comfort from the church. Well, we have a family. And I think a lot of times it becomes part of our verbiage so much that we don't think about it and how big of a deal it is, but we call each other brother and sister. Brother and sister. Now, that should be something that means something. Because if your brother really was in need of something, you wouldn't just be like, well, tough luck, brother. Or if your sister really needed a hand, you wouldn't probably just turn your eye. We try to seek out our brother and sister if we know they're at the same event. Or we try to talk to them. So many times we just use it as more of an official greeting while we're here at this building. It shouldn't be the case. Because we have a father and we are brother and sister. We should share in that. Which means that we're going to love. And we're going to be loved. And we're going to have love. And we're going to share love. And we're going to fellowship with one another. And we're going to care for one another. And we're going to, you know, dine with one another. We are going to support one another. We're going to study with one another. We have come to this place to worship with one another. And these are the many blessings and many, many more that we get from church comfort, from being together. We get this to help us and to make us comfortable. And these are one of the things that will help us to enjoy being a Christian and sharing in the blessings of that. But there also, just as there was with the other, there are going to be challenges that come from comfort zones that are found in church. And these are some things that I have heard, things that I thought of being said as far as some of these challenges. Well, I go to church, I'm a Christian. That's what your comfort zone will lead you to say. In Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, because this people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me. We get comfortable being here and telling others that we went there. And that's about the end of it. Our hearts do not think about Christ or God. the other 164 hours within a week, 4 hours a week that we might find ourselves here, we are drawing near to Him with our mouth and with our lips and with our tongue. Being a consumer, and that's it. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 say, "For we are His workmanship, were created in Christ Jesus for good works." So we were created with a purpose to do good works. That means that we are going to be out doing something. It means we're going to be participating in. Many want to go and drink from the fountain which God supplies. There's got to be others who are out putting into the drink and putting into the fountain. We've got to be contributing. We've got to be participating. If everyone was to go and drink out of the same cooler and no one was there to fill it up, we would all be thirsty. We have to find a place where we do good works and we are about God's business. One of the things that is a big draw for the comfort zone in the church is the come and go with no strings attached. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19, "For you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Now think about being a citizen. There are some things that go along with being a citizen. There are some things that go along with being a citizen here in Limestone County, within the state of Alabama, and within this nation. There are things that we pride ourselves in and we participate in because we are a citizen or because we are affiliated or because we are associated with a certain group or organization or school or whatever. But when it comes to our citizenship of that belonging unto God and our citizenship being in heaven, that we are no longer strangers or aliens unto God, well, I'm just glad I'm there. Like it's almost like we can just fill out place of origin, heaven, on that piece of paper and that's it. We don't want to try to, you know, be out working for like we're a good citizen. I'm not saying that there's a good citizenship award in heaven, but that doesn't mean that we should not act like it. And that we shouldn't strive to be a good citizen of heaven. Because we're not strangers, we're not aliens, we are known by God, we are members of the household of God. One of the things I hear said is, "I have no interest in being held accountable or corrected. I have no desire for you to change me or to be of something different. I don't want to hear that I'm doing wrong. I want to be all right, being okay, and just kind of float through life and let it all be what it'll be." 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5 say this, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your ministry." We need to be about teaching and preaching. We need to check ourselves so that we are always found in the faith, that we need to be about His business and about being right over just feeling good. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17 say this, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you." Those who are ruling over you, who are leading you, who are guiding you, who are shepherding the flock, they are going to have to give an account for what they have done in that position. They're keeping watch over your soul. Why? Because they care about you. Because they love you. And they too will have to answer for the things that they did or did not do as far as concerning you and your soul. Let them do this with joy. In other words, don't be a thorn in their side if they encourage you to do something. Don't be the plague or a disease in groaning and complaining because they want you to do something that God wants you to do. Some other challenges and sayings that sometimes occur from being in the comfort zone are, I want a church that looks just like me. Are you sure? Do you really want one that looks just like you? You know, we read in Revelation chapter 7, we read of there will be of those of many nations, of many tongues, of different places, that this is going to be like a melting pot of people. There ain't going to be very many that look like you. There are going to be even fewer that talk like you. Are you really sure that you want everybody at a church that looks just like you? Are you really what they ought to look like? That's the way we've always done it, but is it right? The way you've always done it is fine if the way you've always done it is right. But if the way that you've always done it is wrong, then why are we going to keep going the wrong way? Doing things just because that's just what we've always done, it doesn't make any sense. But comparing it to the Scriptures and finding out if these things are true. Some people are comfortable in their comfort zone and a big challenge comes because they just don't like change. I hate change. But you just leave things the way they are. Because, why? I just don't like change. Why don't you like change? Is this for the better or for the worse? Now, if it's for the worse or for the detriment of whatever thing is being done, then by all means, let's not change. What about this? It's time for them youngins to do something. Well, you're not old. We just made that as a joke. We weren't really serious. You're not old. It's time for the youngins. Well, no, it's time for us all to be doing something. I'm not old enough yet. Well, yeah, you are. If you're old enough to make an excuse, you're old enough to do something. In Romans chapter 12, verse 11. Verse 12 as well, it says, do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Don't be slothful in zeal, be busy. Be zealous for the Lord. Be on fire for the Lord. Serve the Lord, be about His business. Amos chapter 6 and verse 1 says, woe to those who are at ease in Zion. It continues and says, to those who feel secure in the mountain of Samaria, the notable men of the first nations to whom the house of Israel comes. Can't be taking it easy. It's time to be busy and to be about His business. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 15 and 16 addresses this idea. I don't have to, you can fill in the blank. That's why we have blank. Well, I don't have to teach, that's why we got Robert. Well, I don't have to spread the gospel because that's why we got missionaries. We just heard about all the missionaries we support last week. You know, so I don't have to be spreading the gospel. Well, I don't have to, blah, blah, blah. Ephesians 4, 15, 16 says this about every joint. Rather speaking in the truth of love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is head into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint, with which is equipped when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. When we're all doing our part, when the body is all working together, we begin to grow and build ourselves up in love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 31. We'll not read them all to you. But we go with this idea here. Just because we don't have the same part doesn't mean that you don't have a part. In this passage here, it recalls the fact in verse 15, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, is it therefore not part of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not part of the body, is it therefore not a part of the body? We all have duties. We all have things to do. That means that we all have something we can find to do to serve the Lord. Maybe we need to get out of our comfort zone. Sometimes we are called, and other times we are commanded to get out of our comfort zone. Or maybe it's this idea here that we should expand the place in which we are comfortable. We should expand our comfort zone. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, beginning there, it says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority has been given to me. And now, because all authority has been given to me, I'm going to tell you this, go. Have you ever thought about that? Really thought about it? He has all authority on heaven and on earth, and now He's telling you to do something. So who are you going to appeal to as far as saying, well, you know, I talked to so-and-so, they said I didn't have to go. Good luck, because He's the supreme authority on heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always even to the end of the age. I put that, go, therefore, I put it in bold, italicized it, and put it in a different font and highlighted it, just so you could all see that. That means all of us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Go and teach people that they may teach. Go and plant seed of people who are going to be seed sowers. Go teach others. Some of the sayings that I've heard about comfort zones are this. Comfort zones are where dreams go to die. Life begins at the end of your comfort zone. You never change your life until you step out of your comfort zone. Change begins at the end of your comfort zone. Step outside your comfort zone because that is the only way that you are going to grow. In my personal favorite, comfort zones. If you live in one too long, that becomes your norm. Get comfortable being uncomfortable. That's all great. Those make some real good pictures to put up in the living room. Hang on the wall, reminders. And make a good bumper sticker on a car. What does the Bible have to say? Well, very quickly we'll go through some of this. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Be strong and courageous. You know, there was a time where, you know, I don't really feel safe doing this. A lot of times fear is part of our comfort zone. We want to avoid fear and keep it out of our comfort zone. Be strong and be courageous. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, God gave them the spirit of power, love, and self-control, not of fear. Not of fear. You can read these are my abbreviated verse, what they says, except for this one. This is the entire thing in Isaiah 42 verse 16. And the Lord says this, I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light and the rough places into level ground. These are the things that I do, and I do not forsake them. If you wanted somebody to lead you and you were blind, what better person than God? And oftentimes we sing the song, I once was blind, but now I see. Because we found the one who can open our eyes into the things that we ought to do in our life. James chapter 1 and verse 22 says, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers. We should be doers, not just hearers. Where would we be if Moses didn't lead? If Joshua had no courage? If Nehemiah didn't build? If Gideon had trusted numbers? If Esther would have kept quiet? If Mary would have aborted? If Paul would have turned back to the way that he lived? Where would we be if these people would have just stayed in the comfort zone? Some of our Bible heroes, they made excuses too. They felt that they weren't good at speaking, or they were too weak, or they were too young, or they were too old, or they were unqualified. But they had obedient faith in trusting God to see it through. And that's where we must find ourselves. Being willing to expand our comfort zone and to go out of our comfort zone in faith. Trusting God that although I'm blind, He is going to lead me. Although the way seems rough, I know He will make the ground level before me. So what can we do? Well, we can get involved. Well, we never do anything. No, you never do anything. We got stuff to do. We've got things for you to participate in. We've got ways for you to encourage and to fellowship and to grow with one another. It's not that those things aren't happening. It's just that you're not doing anything because you don't make yourself available. So you need to make yourself available. You need to make it a priority to be involved. If there's something going on with this church or this church is not just what's happening here at this building. When something is going on outside of this building that involves our brothers and our sisters and our family, then you need to make yourself available to go to those things. Well, you can teach. Well, I don't feel like I can teach. Well, then mentor. You can guide. Every one of us can pray. Probably the most important thing that we can do. And don't pray for an opportunity and then when the opportunity presents itself, you don't take it. And we can start talking about Jesus and God daily. As part of our everyday speech. Not taking the name in vain or in blasphemy or using it flippantly, but actually talking about Jesus and God and church and what we do and where we go and how we do these things. And one day after that seed has been planted in someone's ear, you don't know, it may be immediate and it may be years from now, they say, well, you know, I remember you talking about that. That's what, I think it was Brother Chad that spoke about doing this very thing last week. Am I too comfortable? Well, only you can decide that for yourself. I don't know where your comfort zone is. I don't know where that lies. But I know where there are some things that we are called to do. Things that we're supposed to do. And I am fully convinced that the apathetic Christian will be the death of the church. Not that church itself can die. It's been bought and it's been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ and nothing can kill it. But an apathetic Christian, generationally, will dissolve a local congregation. And that all comes by Christians who are stuck in their comfort zone. Are you too comfortable? Well, I have no idea. Only you know that. But we can be about God's business. And we can do things that, even though we don't feel safe doing them, we know that He is with us and He is going to guide us and He is going to take us. And we know all those things because we're His children. And if you're here this morning and you're not His child, then I understand why you don't feel very comfortable anywhere, because you can't find the peace and the comfort that comes from being a child of God. And that is the greatest peace. And that is the greatest comfort, even when things aren't going your way. And if you would like to become a child of God, He's paid the price. I mentioned that. That blood that was shed has purchased us as Christians. Any who would be willing to baptize himself into His blood and for the remission of sins can be forgiven and can be His child. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation in any way, we want you to come as we stand and as we sing.